Psalm 92 reminds us that our chief mission in life is to love God and glorify and praise Him forever. Let us rise as we are able to call ourselves to worship using its words. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to God Most High, to declare God's steadfast love in the morning and God's faithfulness at nighttime. Please remain standing as we sing hymn 142, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. We are God's children, but as children sometimes do, we fail to follow God's rules for life. Let us share in the words of confession of our guilt using the words in our bulletins. God, who delivers and redeems, we have failed to live into the promise of new life. We have been afraid to enter troubled waters to help the poor and downtrodden. We have sought to ease and comfort in exchange for ignoring the hungry and sick in the world. Forgive us when we have seen our faith in such narrowness, thinking only our salvation. Forgive us when we have not lived for others, when we have not been willing to risk ourselves for the sake of others. Call us into new life.
Life that is lived in the promise of your love for the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends in Christ Jesus, we are radically renewed community.
Thanks be to God.
Old things are done away with, all things become new.
Thanks be to God.
We are agents of grace and reconciliation.
Thanks be to God.
With every step or stumble, Christ will be with us. Believing this, I say to you, may the peace of the Lord Jesus be with you.
And also with you.
Now's the time that we can bow or wave to each other the peace of Christ.
Thank you, ladies. Shall we pray together? O Lord, open our ears that we may hear your word. Open our hearts like the earth, that your word, once sown, may grow and flourish so that we might be made strong to serve you in the world. Amen. Today's reading comes to us from the Gospel of Mark. We will be wandering through the world with Mark these next several months because, quite frankly, the time of ordinary time, the time after Pentecost, goes until the week before Advent. So we're going to have a lot of Mark, okay? These stories of Mark are succinct. They are pithy, almost. But sometimes they are mysterious and confusing. And these two today are just that. Listen now to God's word for God's people from chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all bushes, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, used to be that Advent and Christmas were far busier than May and June. Remember? I'm not so sure about that anymore. And no matter your season in life, we can feel life's pace move into hustle mode in either season. At Christmas, we scurry around decorating our homes or going out to sing carols and drink hot chocolate with our friends or, of course, yeah, shopping. We're also a lot like squirrels about that time of the year, bustling around, stocking up on nuts to tide ourselves over the cold winter ahead. It's like we're sprinting through autumn, and we want to find, you know, that place, that warm place to snooze through the snow and ice. But as the last 2 months that we've just lived through have warmed, we've emerged from our winter hibernation, and we're dashing about in jubilation. We've celebrated the women of the church on Mother's Day with a baptism. Oh, and we're not through with baptisms. Next week, another one. Teachers, substitutes, they all whisked through the final days of the school year, as did students of all ages. And it really is the season for weddings and, of course, yeah, graduations from schools. The young people that we are honoring today are on the verge of new life, where anything and everything is possible. Each one has enjoyed success and endured, yeah, a failure or two. In their classes and in their after-school activities, each has discovered much about the world and who they are as part of that world. They've worked long and hard to reach this milestone. So we're celebrating them and all of their accomplishments. When you celebrate someone, though, you're supposed to shower them with, yes, compliments, and maybe say a few words that add meaning to their lives. And yet here we are, reading two parables, neither of which seem to offer much wisdom of any kind. That Jesus compares planting and bushes to God's kingdom is really quite odd. So, the first is about planting seeds and how they mysteriously grow on their own. That makes us wonder, is this story telling young people that now you've got your basic knowledge, you just need to sit back and wait until everything happens for you, and then you simply harvest your rewards? I wonder what would happen if parents sat back once their baby was old enough to go to school and let him grow up on his own. Now, both farmers and gardeners know that in order to have a beautiful flower bed or bountiful fields of grain, a great deal of work has to happen. First, you turn the soil over and break up the big, hard chunks. And then you apply a pre-emergent weed killer. And fertilizer is definitely added to the ground. Only then are you ready to toss in the seeds. And once planting has happened, farmers pretty much have to hope that Mother Nature cooperates. They watch the skies for signs of rain and for wind. A gentle June rain nourishes crops, but things do go awry when winds whip up a tornado. Gardeners appreciate these forces of nature too, but they can use a sprinkler to water their plot if the ground becomes dry. I personally cannot imagine setting up one of those overhead irrigation systems that you sometimes see out in the fields. Those things must be hard to build and take days and days of time. But after you all this work and worry, you still don't know if the seeds you dropped in the ground are actually sprouting, do you, Dale? No. A cute story. Once upon a time, a little boy, along with his friends, planted a seed or two in a little paper cup chucked up with dirt, okay? You know, it's one of those kindergarten science projects. And each child had a different kind of seed. They were going to watch how the seeds grew into vines or flowers or maybe even vegetables. Well, this little boy was very excited about the experiment. So he waded through the first day, but saw nothing peeking out of the ground. The same thing happened on the second day and on the third. Well, the little boy was getting antsy, so he began digging into his cup to find the seed. He'd pull it out and he'd look and, you know, was it really growing? He must have had one of the ones that took a couple of weeks to germinate. And that frustrated him to the point that he thought that maybe he should dig into the other kids' cups to see if they were growing. Yeah. Growth is a mysterious process. And as to the second parable, the one about the mustard bush, not a tree. The other gospels talk about a mustard tree. This is a bush. And I always thought that mustard was a good thing. And it turns out, according to Dale, and I'll bet Dave can affirm this, mustard is a pesky weed. It grows quickly, and all the while it's sending out its roots in such a way that more plants spring up, and pretty soon there are so many mustard plants that the seeds that the farmer has planted have no room to grow. And yet here Jesus is talking about the plant as if it is a wonder, a wonderful thing. Granted, mustard seeds are pretty tiny, and while the ones that Dale and Dave and their fellow farmers battle are invasive, I don't believe that they grow to the size of Middle Eastern mustard bushes. Have any of you seen Middle Eastern mustard bushes? No? Let me tell you, the ones that grow in Palestine can be like more than 2 people high, more than 15 people high, and way more than 30 feet across. They are huge. Nesting birds can definitely live in their branches, and I do doubt that farmers want a flock of birds hanging out in a mustard bush by their fields. So what is it that Jesus is talking about in these two stories? How can a mustard bush and planting crops be like God's kingdom? Isn't it interesting that it's the roots of the mustard bush that sprout additional stalks to bud and flower and go to seed? And like the excited little boy, nobody can see those roots as they move through the ground. And isn't it interesting that birds nest in the bush's branches? I know, it's not that big of a deal, but birds will eat the seed that was sown or nip out the fresh shoots as they emerge from the ground in the field are pesky things too. Could it be that God's kingdom is a place where all kinds of folks, even the pesky ones, are invited to live, to be nourished, to grow, to bless the rest of us with their mere presence? Now, I know Hinda knows this, but did the rest of you know that there are new teams cleaning the sanctuary? Yeah. They're high schoolers from Foxfire School, and they're learning the custodial trade. Now, these young people come to work clean and neatly attired, and boy, do they work hard. But it's pretty easy to see that they need some extra encouragement and some guidance as they go about their days and their lives. They're kind of like small little birds, which lots of folks will ignore or simply shoo away. But they are doing a wonderful job here, one that we can no longer muster on our own at this point in time. In a way, this very large building is like a very large mustard bush. It's giving them a place in which to nest and learn skills that will help them lead productive lives. So we're helping each other. Our building is a blessing to them, giving them opportunities, and they're blessing us with much needed service. And isn't that what the kingdom of God looks like? Who knows if hidden in this work, seeds of relationship and hope are being planted and are growing without our knowing them. Whether or not these kids believe in Jesus or go to church, they know they're in a church building, and they know that we want the best for them. And already, one of them has asked me a question about Jesus. Like the farmer's seed that's been sown in the field, or like the seed stuck in those little paper cups, tiny little roots are sprouting and pushing through fertile ground. And I totally believe that it isn't magic that causes them to grow. You cannot see God at work. We'll never know why God works as God does. Instead, we're invited to let go of our desire to be in control of such things. We're asked to take a breath and take a step back for the mysterious Spirit of God is moving through creation, through others, in ways that we will never fully comprehend. Now, that's not saying we're to totally stand down from involvement. We are called to do our part, to use our brains to figure out ways to water and feed the seeds. But our accomplishments, our successes and failures, are not on our shoulders alone. In the end, it's God's kingdom that's being built, not ours, not the church's, God's. It's for us to have faith that if we do our job, sow the seeds, irrigate as needed, the rest will happen as it is supposed to happen. I hated those words when my mother told them to me, and she said them often. "Let it go, Debbie. Allow things to happen as they will," she'd say. It's hard to have faith that little tiny seeds will grow. It's hard to believe in something that you cannot see. My friend, science is about how. Agriculture is science. But God is about why. God is about meaning. Who knows what the future holds for the graduates that we're honoring, for the Foxfire students, or even for this church? We may never see the harvest. After pulling the seeds out so many times, that little boy certainly didn't see his seeds sprouting. But I wonder, if he planted and watered it a bit and let it grow, what might happen? You have all been planted in rich and fertile soil. You are to bring about good, to grow relationships that will bear good fruit, and that is God's why. Compassionate relationships give life meaning and love. And isn't that what God's kingdom is about? Love? Oh, my friends, my brothers and sisters in faith, may you always grow and live in God's kingdom. And may you be blessed with others with whom to share such a love as this.
Please stand as you are able to, and join me as we state our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born under Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen.
At this time, we're going to recognize our graduates, but I want to share a new tradition we're going to start this year. it was suggested that we present each graduate with Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss. Now, this is a really special book, and if you take time to read the flap on the paper cover, it tells you Dr. Seuss did pass away in 1991, and this was his last book. He was published at his age of 87. It's his farewell salute, and in this book is a lifetime of wisdom coupled with his humor. So hopefully you will enjoy this book and that it might give you some guidance as you go on with the rest of your life. Our first graduate is Connor Allison, and if you'll come forward and just stay here till we have everybody, that would be wonderful. He has graduated from West Muskingum High School, plans to attend Ohio State Newark with a focus on art. CJ and Amanda Allison are his parents. Catherine, the maker of our cupcakes, is his sister, and Dorothy Allison is his grandmother.
Stay.
Our next graduate is a grandson of Linda and Larry Good, Anthony Estrada. Larry, if you'll come forward to get his things, please. Anthony graduated from South Oldham High School with several honors. That's in Crestwood, Kentucky. He plans to attend the University of South Carolina. Shane and Alicia Good Estrada are his parents. Alicia was a member here and did play in the handbell choir at one time. And, of course, Larry and Linda Good are the grandparents. Cameron Hill graduated from West Muskingum High School. I don't believe there's anyone here representing him. He was class president. He plans to attend The Ohio State University. Brian and Tracy Hill are his parents. Kaylee and Connor Hill are his siblings. Nancy Thompson is his grandmother. Jack Tysinger graduated from Zanesville High School. He plans to attend Zane State in electrical engineering. Jeff and Lonnie Tysinger are parents. Jenna Tysinger is his sister, and Jim and Didi Spargrove are grandparents. From college, Emily McKay Britton, and I believe grandparents are here, so if one or both of you want to come up and receive her things. She's graduating from East Tennessee State University with a bachelor's in education. She will be a special education teacher and has two job offers near her home in Tennessee. Craig and Vicki Vandenbark Britton, former members here are the parents. Aaron Elizabeth and Samuel Walker Britton are siblings. And, of course, I already said Dale and Kay are grandparents. Clay Foster, I believe he's probably working today. Yeah, he works on Sundays. Susan, would you please come up and get his things? He graduated from Ohio University with a master's in public administration. He is employed by the Columbus Police Department. Perry Foster is his wife. And Dave and Susan Foster are his parents. Continuing on the back, we had a two-sided one. We had a lot. Kaylee Hill, and again, there's no one here, graduated from The Ohio State University, cum laude in agricultural economics, and she's currently working for the Farm Credit Union. Brian and Tracy Hill are parents. Cameron and Connor Hill are brothers, and Nancy Thompson is the grandmother. Maria Johnson. She graduated from the University of Mount Union as an exercise science major with minors in biology and psychology. She plans to attend Walsh University for physical therapy school. Joe and Anna Johnson are parents. David and Aaron Johnson are her brothers. Merle and Dora Taylor are her grandparents. Jenna Tysinger was unable to be with us today. She graduated from Ohio University Zanesville with a BS in psychology. She plans to continue her education at Muskingum University for a master's in education to be an intervention specialist. Her brother's collecting her things. Jeff and Lonnie Tysinger are parents. Jack is her brother, and Jim and Didi Spargrove are the grandparents. We're going to announce the last one, but we're going to recognize him special when he comes back. Jonathan Patterson, he will be graduating, I think it's like either June 30th or July 1st, as a UH-60 Black Hawk maintainer. And he's considering law enforcement or auto mechanics. So we're going to kind of publicly recognize him when he comes back, but we're not going to do another sheet of paper. Tim and Mindy Patterson are parents. Kaylin Matthew and Mark Patterson are siblings. Richard and Glee Patterson are the grandparents. This is quite amazing. These young people have a wonderful future ahead of them, and I hope that they choose carefully and wisely and walk with the Lord. Thank you. And Reverend Deb has a blessing.
Go ahead and applaud. Yeah. I don't know if there's pictures being to have everybody close. The line in the bulletin says, blessing of the graduates. And so we are going to do that today. In baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ put his name on each of these young people, and young at heart. And in this community, you have been nurtured with the good news of God's saving love and nourished at Christ's table to be sent out to witness to him in the world. God has blessed you and made you a blessing in our life together. You have deepened our joy and lightened our sorrow. And we rejoice that as you seek new horizons, you will bless others as you have blessed us. Let us all pray. Faithful God, keep and preserve these graduates all their days. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may they be salt of the earth and light for the world. Lead them to ministries secure in the faith that binds us forever in the body of Christ. Remind them always that you are with them. And all of God's children said together, Amen. Thank you. Congratulations. I'm going to do that because you're carrying too much.
All stand, please stand with me and sing hymn number 391. We're doing verses 1, 4, and 6.
You may be seated. We have had a joyous celebration. We are celebrating children of God who have walked in God's Spirit and who will praise the Lord with thanksgivings all their lives, just as the rest of us are doing. So let us now turn our hearts to God to praise God, offer thanksgiving, our laments, our prayers. Let us pray. O Lord, though the old hymn reminds us that as your children, we walk by faith, we cannot help but give you thanks for the gift of sight on this beautiful, almost summer morning. The green of grasses, trees, and crops that have been nurtured by recent silvery rains glows before our eyes. The smiles of friends and families warm our hearts, reminding us of your love. Oh, how good it is to be your family. Hear us now as we turn our hearts to you, as we pray of our hopes, our dreams, and concerns of this day. Gracious God of righteousness, we pray for peace, particularly that your peace will blanket the world in which we live to quell whatever discord lies amongst us. You sent your Son to be our Savior, to break down the walls of hostility, and we ask that you send peace to places where greed and pride and anger turn nation against nation, race against race, and yes, church against church. We also ask that in your righteousness and in your love, you will comfort and heal the victims of mass shootings, that you gentle the hearts of those who feel driven to violence, especially those who choose to use guns. O God of all wisdom, we pray for the leaders of your church and of all nations. You are sovereign over all. So we ask that you'll give those in leadership the vision of your kingdom, that they may lead us with justice and goodwill. O God of creation, you made all things in your wisdom and love. Grant us all a reverence for the earth that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Merciful God, you bear the pain of the world. Look with compassion on those who are sick or injured. Stand with those who sorrow. Show them hope by your word and bring healing as a sign of your grace. God of love, bless us and those we love, our friends and families, so that by drawing close to you, we may be drawn closer to one another. All of these things we ask in the name of Jesus, who died for us and who rose for us, who reminds us of your saving grace, and who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our responsive hymn is number 399. I do believe that this is a new one, so I'm going to ask Kathy to play it through one time so you can hear what it sounds like, and then Barry and I will lead you, and we will learn a new song today.
Like the farmer who sows seeds, and through the waters of baptism, we have been planted in rich and fertile soil. God has sought to grow us in faith and hope, joy and justice. I invite you to spread your roots like the mustard bush and grow and flourish, springing up new plants out of the relationships that you engage with, not just one another, but with all the people you meet and will meet. And I invite you to know that you are always children of God who are loved. Go out into the world in peace, knowing that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit that draws us into communion together goes with you each and every day. Amen and amen and amen.